Do you pray? Do you meditate? Are you a thinking person? If you pray, to whom do you pray? And what do you say? And how do you say it? Do you pray spontaneously, or do your words come from memory, as in saying the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, you know, from memory? And do you pray at certain times, or do you pray spontaneously, or both? Is prayer meaningful for you when others pray and you are involved by listening? Does that help you spiritually? Like the saying of grace before dinner, do you personally engage in that practice, and are you involved, blessed, when someone else says grace? Are you involved, blessed, communicating in church when someone else prays, at a certain time, of course, and for certain things, of course, and for certain people? Are you blessed? Are you spirit-filled when that happens? The dictionary gives us a definition of prayer as follows: a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God, or, there's an or in there, or an object of worship. An object of worship? Object. Surely the definition of prayer is more than that, better than that, don't you think? That dictionary definition never even mentions prayer for others, or for guidance, or for wisdom, or for understanding. The definition does incorporate thanks and thanksgiving, and that's a good thing. And of course, our requests, our needs, and even our wants, and I suppose that's a good thing. But surely there is much more to the definition, much more to prayer, especially as an individual engages in prayer as he or she would. Perhaps the definition of prayer, the content of prayer, is redefined every time anyone prays, at least for that individual. Prayer is very special, tailored, individual, don't you think? But the definition of prayer from the dictionary identifies this so-called request or expression procedure as one which can be addressed to God or an object of worship. Again, an object of worship like what? An idol? Or perhaps a saint? Some cults worship animals and even pray to them. In any event, I guess the fundamental question about prayer is, to whom do you pray? And if you pray to God, who and what is your God? That surely makes an enormous difference, does it not? A Muslim prays to Allah, and Allah only. A Jew prays to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob only. A Christian prays to God the Father through a divine Son and with the aid of a Holy Spirit. All three are different. Surely all three and so many others cannot be real or true. And if the God to whom one prays is not real or not there, does not really exist, that would mean the prayer of an individual, no matter how well-intentioned, goes nowhere. Certainly not to the ears of a non-existent God, don't you think? And of course, there are those by the millions who do not pray. Perhaps they don't even meditate. They can be generally termed atheists or perhaps naturalists. They believe in no God, so of course there is no such thing as prayer to something which does not exist. But it seems to me as though they are missing something. Something fundamental and necessary in life, something spiritual which they cannot recognize, something of such real value, don't you think? They're missing that. And then there is the agnostic. He or she is one who's just not sure, uncertain. Perhaps there is a God and perhaps not. I doubt if an agnostic would bother to pray, for that individual would be unsure of the object of the prayer or the purpose of the prayer, or whether or not any prayer would even be heard, don't you think? There is a little less listening on the part of the Almighty when atheism or agnosticism increases. More time, perhaps, for those of us who do pray. But I suggest to you that all men and women pray, every single one. Prayer, no matter the words, comes from a wellspring of spirituality, a human resource of emotionality, of feeling. Prayer comes from the spirit of mankind, a sense of something far more than ourselves, of greater powers, of creative and forceful powers in this universe. That is built within us, that recognition. The notion of God is there. It's there within us, whether we like it or not, whether we recognize it or not. No human being, no atheist, no naturalist can extinguish the notion of God built in genetically, if you will. To deny these genetic things is itself a form of dialogue with a greater power, a form of prayer, whether the naturalist admits it or not. Any act of meditation, a solemn contemplation of things greater than self, especially this earth, and all that it means, and the universe in which we live, any meditation of those wonders and splendors is, in my mind, an act of prayer, whether the atheist admits it or not. Even thinking about these things, pondering the wonder of the universe and the internal words which express those thoughts, that's a form of prayer. The scientist prays whether or not the scientist believes in God. An atheistic philosopher prays, wrestles with the Almighty, even as the philosopher attempts to disprove God in any form. It is again within every human being to wrestle with the issue of the divine, something powerful, a creative power out there, somewhere. That is a form of prayer. That wrestling is a form of prayer. To deny the spirit in mankind, that spirit which searches for expression every day, perhaps even all day, is to deny all things human. Many believe that the spiritual, the soul, is the most important in the trinity of body, mind, and spirit. Perhaps it is, even for the naturalist, the atheist. Perhaps it is. A naturalist, an atheist, could not direct prayer of any kind, that is, communion, or requests, or meditation, or thinking to a Christian God, not believing in that God. Christianity to an atheist takes an unknown force, a universal power, and mythologizes, how about that word, mythologizes, personalizes that force in an attempt to make what is subjective, objective, making the ethereal definitive. Christianity, the atheist says, invents God and teaches the divine through myth, stories and proclamations, all man-made. The revelations of men and women viewed as prophets, messiahs, or sons of God are invented, they say, by men who wish God to be as they want. Muhammad, Moses, Jesus, the Messiah are made up. They're mythical, mere men and no more. It is man's idea, says the atheist, of what God is, but without proof, evidence, or factual foundation. None of that exists for them. If the mind, the intellect, says the atheist, cannot comprehend God, then there can be no God. The naturalist scoffs at revelation, truth coming top down or from outside to inside. All such to them, the atheist, is foolishness. It's foolishness. They are natural men, these atheists are, hardened, immune to certain spiritual truths, and for them, prayer is no more than foolishness. It is foolish. It seems to many that these individuals live incomplete lives, lives spent denying spirituality, so much of the soul. Why do they do that? These men and women, these atheists, then, in so many ways, become prisoners of the intellect. Even as they deny the existence of God, so they deny much about themselves. Some, of course, do believe in the existence of God, these naturalists, these philosophers, like the brilliant Albert Einstein. What a great scientist he was. And he believed in God. One could never be sure who his God was, but there was something out there. Whatever that something was, even Einstein believed in a form of revelation, for everything which is was in fact created by this supreme being, said Einstein, this powerful universal force, whatever it was. I suppose that is a start in a spiritual passage, and one could say that even Einstein prayed as he meditated and thought about the universe and all that it meant. It is interesting to note that Scripture indicates that all wisdom, all knowledge, all truth begins and ends with God Himself. That is to say that there really can be no full understanding, no real wisdom or full truth without God. The ways and means of God are simply beyond us. We cannot understand them unless they are revealed to us, says the Scripture, no matter how brilliant the intellect. We cannot even rightly comprehend the universe, this planet created for us without that special revelation. Our minds, even the brilliant mind of an Albert Einstein, cannot begin to fully comprehend the God of the universe. The only way to comprehend this God, says the Scripture, is to pray, is to ask for wisdom and understanding. God given understanding, for we simply cannot comprehend all truth without that. We cannot know God without asking to know. We cannot know God unless we pray to God. We cannot begin to comprehend all that God is unless we meditate, unless we wait on the Lord, unless we allow the divine to enter, to take spiritual initiative and reveal to us. Through prayer and meditation, we are instructed, we are taught, and our thinking processes are structured right. When that kind of divine revelation happens, as the scripture says, then we begin to think on these things and think right. That process, all of that is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. The naturalist, the atheist, they just don't get that. Would that all men and women would pray and meditate and think as a person of faith. How different, how much better our world would be. Imagine a political world chock full of politicians who pray and meditate and think right. Imagine the level of morality, the standards, the truthfulness which would pervade decision-making and allow our country, our world, in fact, to be such a better place, a moral place. Imagine a world where faith rules, where all mankind engages in prayer and meditation and straight thinking. Ah, what a world that would be. As one said, that would be akin to heaven on earth. Peace on earth and goodwill for all mankind. It only can come from prayer. What a wonderful world that would be. And that says the Christian is only possible through faith in Jesus Christ. Islam differs. Judaism differs. Hinduism differs. But the Christian says that can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. He came as a love gift, a revelation from God, a man in life, and through death, who brought change, the right kind of change to every human being. A man who came to bring peace and goodwill now and for eternity. A man who came as the supreme revelation of the real God, the one God, the right God for all mankind. It is through him and the Spirit which surrounds him, the Holy Spirit, that there is communion with and access to God. It is through Son and Spirit that prayer occurs, prayer rightly directed and requested, the only prayer which can in fact be real and can in fact be heard. No atheist, no naturalist can believe that, can't believe it, for it is nothing more than myth, man-made up, and foolishness. But to those who believe, it is in fact the power of God, even as it is the right and only access to God. Muslims say the same of Allah. Muslims are devout in prayer, believing only their Allah can hear and answer prayer. All else are the words of an infidel, they say, worthless, even blasphemous, says the Muslim. No Jew would ever consider praying to and through Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Messiah. Not at all. For them, the Messiah is yet to come, and the carpenter from Nazareth has made false claims. Prayer for the Jew can only be directed to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the great I Am, the great Jehovah himself. Truth matters so very much, for prayers ill-directed go nowhere. But presuming that you are a person of faith, a person of prayer, what a powerful force prayer is. It is a process which opens. The ego is moved aside, and boy, do we need a whole lot of that to happen. The intellect, the thinking process, takes second place. The act of prayer allows one to be open to the universe, to seek higher powers, to fellowship and commune, to ask and make requests. All of that is so, so powerful. One could also say that prayer is a product of a spiritual state of being, existential, so to speak. Prayer is an expression, whatever that expression is, of the deep feelings, the deep emotionality, the deep spirituality of any human being. It is interesting that Scripture relates that prayer in its elementary form is little more than the groaning of the Spirit, perhaps the emotionality of the Spirit. We are told that God knows the spirit of every individual, the expression, the purpose of the prayerful act, even before the words. Before the words. God knows, no matter the words. Prayer begins when the Spirit activates, As such, one can be connected at all times, connected with God at all times, and His universe, and His creations, open and transparent before these incredible forces, and constantly and always in a state of prayer. Hence the scripture admonition that we should pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, always and at all times, constantly living in a state of prayer and communion. Ah, what a beautiful state that is. What a beautiful, open, transparent way to live, don't you think? Are you in that state? Scripture tells us that there are those who think they will be heard by God because of their many words, their eloquent words, their intellectual words. Words, at least at that level, don't matter. They don't matter, says the scripture. What is real? The groanings of the spirit, the real feelings, that is all that matters. And to the contrary, we are told that there is little meaning, little value praying in public, praying to be heard. Prayerful value occurs in private when one enters his inner closet and communicates openly and privately with God Almighty. That, we are told, is the most meaningful form of prayer. That is prayer with the heart transparent, where the soul is ready for meditation, for quiet time, and where thinking, the thought process, is spiritually structured and directed. Then occurs prayer in humility. That kind of quiet, private prayer allows the prayer to be filled with thanksgiving and understanding. And there comes a gratitude, a love, a sense of change, a sense of awesome and wonder. There comes understanding and direction. There is the opportunity to ask, to request from the heart so that needs can be met as God will. There comes peace from the most powerful prayerful times as the one who prays experiences so well. Be still, my soul. Wait upon the Lord. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. Waiting. Meditating. The thinking process on hold. What a beautiful, absolutely incredible experience. A state of being at the very highest level. What a wonderful world it would be if all mankind could live in that state of grace, of being, of prayer, of love. We are told in the prayer of the Lord's Prayer, that the ultimate objective of prayer is to understand the will of God. Thy will be done, are the words in that prayer. For no matter what we pray or how we pray, the ultimate objective is to understand and even ask for the will of God. That will in fact be done, and that will is in fact the answer to the prayers we ask. To know and understand that will is to know ultimate truth, and that is the bottom line of prayer, the will of God at work in a life and in the world at large. Oftentimes, the will of God is hard to understand. We so readily forget the fact that the ways of God are not our ways. The so-called thinking of God is not as we think. All the more reason for all of us, including and especially our leaders, to seek answers through prayer, through meditation, and through a thought process divinely structured. Only then can wisdom, divine wisdom, guide the thinking and the actions of mankind. And so, my fellow citizens, we are told to pray for our leaders. We are told to pray for our country, for others, for all mankind, and to pray even for our enemies. Any human being who seeks to live life alone, on his own, without divine aid, goes nowhere. How wonderful it is every day to pray, and to pray without ceasing, to pray spontaneously and always, living in a prayerful, spiritual state, in constant communion with God. How sad for the atheist, the naturalist, to miss that. That is the very best part of life. So I, for one, do pray that your life is filled with the power of prayer, the miracles of meditation, and thoughts from thinking, right thinking, structured by the power and wisdom of the one true God. How much better your life will be, and what a better, more wonderful world this will be. One man, one woman can make a prayerful difference. I pray that you will be that one this very day.